Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
This is the sound of the River Kander here in Kandersteg. In fact, Kandersteg gets its name from the river. This is a sparkling, crystal clear mountain river which starts up in the mountains here in the glaciers in the mountains above Kandersteg. And here at the edge of the river, you can even hear the stones, I'm stepping on them. We are at one of the places which will be known maybe to many scouts in the world. It is the International Scout Center. And with me is Mark Knippenberg. Mark is the Vice Director of the International Scout Center in Kandersteg. It has a great history because the International Scout Center here in Kandersteg was founded by no one less than the founder of the scouting movement himself, Lord Baden-Powell. That goes back quite some time.
Yes. If I'm correct, it was in 1920. In one of the first World Jamborees, he expressed the wish that there was a permanent mini jamboree, not only every 4 years, 2 weeks, but a permanent one. And he sent all the international commissioners away with the task to find a place, and the chief scouts of Switzerland found in 1922 this place, and he invited Baden-Powell, and yeah, he liked it, the environment, and that's how this center started as the permanent mini jamboree.
And he came here, and I believe there was an anecdote about it. He said, basically, this is where I will build my center. This was his idea of what scouting meant.
Yeah, that's correct. It's the center, it's the position in the valley, it's the possibility to go up into the mountains and do high alpine scouting, have the environment, all the things coming together. I think that's what made his decision to say, okay, this is the place.
Indeed, I know the scouting movement has changed somewhat over the decades, but scouting is still based very much today on a love for nature and care for nature. Yeah. And I imagine this is the kind of thing you do here in Kandersteg.
Yes, it's the program we provide is based on three pillars. And that's one is high adventure, alpine adventure, one is environmental, and the third one is international friendship, which are all coming together in scouting, of course. And yeah, environmental for us is very, very important because we want to keep it the same way as it is and not spoiling it. So we have a lot of workshops and seminars and activities around the theme of environmental.
Also on the other side of the river and the other side of the rail line here, there's a bridge, an underpass that takes us over to the other side. I have walked and hiked through that area, and you have one vast area of camping places there, and in the summer especially they are filled and you see flags from all nations.
Yeah, in summer we have let's say averagely over 1,000 scouts from all over the world
at any given time
at any given time in the period of July till August on site, and they come from everywhere, majority from Europe because that's easier,
it's closer of course,
but yeah. At least every year we have scouts from America or from the Arabian areas or from Asia Pacific. Not in huge numbers, but they are there.
Incidentally, is there an International Scout Center special merit badge?
Yeah, we have actually several based also on the theme, so you can have the High Adventure Award from the World Scout Center, or the Environmental Award, or the International Friendship Award, or the Explore Switzerland Award, all kinds, yes.
Well, you're open all year round, and we happen to be speaking in the winter, but in the summer, obviously, a lot of outdoor things to do, as we've described. But what about the winter? Is it largely what other people do here in Kandersteg?
Yeah, the activities in winter are mainly based around the whole winter theme. We have some nationalities that like to do some outdoor camping in 1 meter of snow, but mostly it is
roughing it.
Yes, yes. But mostly it is. It's together skiing, snowboarding, snowshoeing, sledding, curling, cross-country skiing, everything.
And you have facilities here. You have dormitories. You have rooms here on the premises.
Yeah, the building itself, the chalet, has up to 200 places, 200 beds divided in 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms, up to 22 bedrooms.
Now, is the International Scout Center only available to registered scouts, or can others use it too?
Others can use it too, but we have blocked periods that are only for registered scouts. That is, for example, over Christmas, New Year, these months of February, especially in the busy ski weeks, and a period of the 1st of July till the end of August. In summer, we normally say till the 1st of May, we block summer. If there are still spaces left, then everybody else is welcome too. But the rest of the year, everybody is welcome. You can come back with and bring your father and mother with you and the rest of your family.
I see that there's a bus from the UK parked outside. So you have a group from the UK on the premises at the moment. What about an individual scout? One individual says, I'd love to spend a week or two there. Can you accommodate that person?
It's no problem. It depends, of course, on the availability of beds. But we have a lot of individual scouts coming from all over the world. Who stay here for 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, enjoying everything here.
Is it full accommodation, meals included, for example?
Yeah, we can provide everything. We can provide you the bed and all the meals, or you can have one of the guest kitchens fully utilized. And you can
do your own cooking then?
Your own cooking, yeah.
So even for families, if you're a scouting family, like, you know, you might be 4 or 5 people, no problem?
No problem at all.
And what about the cost? Can you give an idea of what, for example, for one individual or two people a week here might cost with the full accommodation?
Yeah, you can say we have scouts and non-scout prices. So if you are a registered scout, an overnight in the chalet costs 16 francs per person.
16 francs.
Yeah.
Which is just about 11 US dollars right now, which is not much.
Not much, no. And then additional to it, a full board day price is for the meal 30 Swiss francs, mm-hmm. or you can have the meals individually.
So we're up to $30 a day, roughly, give or take the rate of exchange.
Yeah.
Which is still a bargain.
I think so, yeah. And it includes the tourist tax and the VAT and everything. It's all included, everything there. Yeah.
Shall we go inside and see if we can talk to one or two people? Okay, well, inside, very, very cozy in here, and very much in the combination of what I would call the Swiss and the international scouting style. Lots of wood, lots of natural materials. You have a good feeling in here.
I hope so. At least the pressure we get at the scouts who come, they love it immediately. You see all the scarves and necker.
From all over the world. It's very colorful.
And lots of groups.
Shows how diverse the scouting movement is.
Yeah, and it leaves people leave their scarves to be put up, so the next time they come and they can say, yes, this is my scarf, I've been here. And I think it gives a good atmosphere, yeah.
What about the evening? Social activities, getting together?
Yeah, there is possibilities. We have inside chimney places that can be used for that. And, of course, in the warmer periods outside, campfires are possible. And there are days with organized evening activities by the center. Can be anything from a huge campfire or a spiritual gathering or evening activities in the winter with cheese fondue eating or curling or sledding in the evening.
Who's on the reception today? Where are you from?
From Norway.
How long have you been here in Kandersteg?
I was here first for my first season in winter 2002. Then I worked in the kitchen in the summer 2002. And then I've been back here since September working in reception.
Well, you've kept coming back, so you must like it.
Yeah, it's a good sign, isn't it?
What is it like meeting so many people from all over the world?
Well, that's the greatest thing about this place, I think, that you make so many friends from places you would normally never meet people from.
And here's the dining room. All this brings me back to scout camp. Doing kitchen police. Somebody has been setting the tables here. Very, very comfortable indeed. You're from Ireland?
Yes.
I got to come back behind the counter here and ask you, where are you from in Ireland?
Dublin.
I think I've heard of it. How long have you been here in Kandersteg?
I'm only here for a week helping. I was staff in summer 2002.
You're a scout too?
Yeah, and a scout leader.
Good people?
Yeah, lots of fun.
And here in the kitchen, a little bit of music going to make it a little easier for these people to turn out the goods here for today. Where are you from?
The Netherlands.
Holland, from the Netherlands.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're the cook?
Yes, I'm here for 3 weeks.
What's for lunch today?
French fries with hamburgers and some vegetables.
How many people are you cooking for today?
Lunchtime, 28, and this evening, 160 people. Well,
you're a busy man, I can see that. Thanks very much. Yeah. And we even have a Swiss scout here behind the counter. Where are you from?
East of Switzerland.
St. Gallen?
Yeah.
How did I guess?
Not city, but...
the canton of St. Gallen, the area.
Yeah.
Have you been here before to the center?
No. It's the first time.
Must be funny for you that the International Scout Center is in Switzerland. You're Swiss, but when you come here, the language is usually English. That's sort of the lingua franca here, isn't it? Everyone speaks English, and you meet people from all over the world.
Yeah, it's really strange for me that I'm in my own country, but it's really good because I'm so near at home. I know the things here, how they work in this country, but I feel like somewhere else.
Almost like a tourist in your own country.
Yeah, it's really.
I heard another variety of English spoken here a moment ago. Where are you from?
I'm from the UK, central England, near Birmingham.
What's the nicest part of it?
Just working here with everybody from different nationalities and then seeing everybody here in the summer, 1,500 people all having fun. You just can't beat it.
We didn't talk to any of these people beforehand. Nothing was arranged. And it's quite obvious that everyone here is very, very happy and will be coming back. And I can feel there's a wonderful spirit here. There is definitely that scouting spirit we talk about. Mark Knippenberg, the Vice Director of the International Scout Center, founded by Lord Baden-Powell himself in the 1920s, the place where scouts from all over the world congregate and enjoy each other's company and some of the best things that scouting is all about. Mark, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, switzerlandinsound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs. switzerlandinsound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
We have the Reverend Patrice de Metrel. He is a Protestant minister in Zurich who has been taught and practices in the famous Zwingli tradition of Zurich. Al Schalk studied to be a Roman Catholic priest as a younger man. He gave up the study of the priesthood and turned instead to writing. Gora Lila Dasa, his civil name is Guido von Arx, a native Swiss who was born in the canton of Solothurn, a traditionally Roman Catholic canton, who abandoned Catholicism in favor of Hinduism. To be specific, Vaishnava Hinduism, which in the Western world takes the form of the Hare Krishna movement. What they have in common is that all of these men have drifted away, if that's the right word, or have chosen to depart from the mainstream. Reverend Patrice de Metrel in Zurich, you operate in the city of Zurich what is known as a coffeehouse church. What is a coffeehouse church?
Well, we try to invite people to come and be as they are without having to know something about theology or religion, but share their search for meaning with others on common day subjects. We have done that for over 10 years and reached a couple hundred people in various groupings.
You have had experience with the drug scene, not as a drug user, but as a pastor. You have dealt with all kinds of the social milieu, as it's referred to, in the city of Zurich. You are also a prison chaplain. You have been a military chaplain. Do you feel as though the traditional church is not reaching the people the way it should?
Unfortunately not.
Al Schalk, you were inspired to study the Roman Catholic priesthood. You gave it up. And in fact, you go so far as to describe yourself today as a non-practicing Catholic. Although you write for Catholic publications, you maintain very close contacts with not only the Catholic Church, but others. How do you explain this apparent anomaly?
Well, I think it's partly due to the fact that the established church today, in many areas, has failed. It is too authoritarian. It is too sectarian. It is too denominationally oriented. It is too far removed from the world.
Goralila, you were born a Roman Catholic. What brought you to make such a dramatic and drastic change in your spiritual and religious directions?
When in my youth, maybe around the time of 15, I gave up the traditional religion practice. It was kind of a general mood among the young people at that time, rejecting these old traditions. Later on, I kind of became a little more thoughtful in seeking for the actual meaning or purpose of life, and then started off a world journey in order to find out about other people and the truth. I was living with Catholic, I was studying with them, I was among Muslims, etc., studying the Quran, asked many questions, but later on I become some or other, maybe it's a question of taste, most convinced and attracted through the presentation of God consciousness, to the way it is presented in the Vaishnava Hindu tradition. I found out personally that the Vedic explanation of God, God consciousness, also the meaning of living in this world, is much more profound, much more scientific, and for my searching intellect, much more satisfying than what I've learned in the Christian tradition, let's say the Bible or even the Quran, other books I studied.
Reverend Demetral, do you in principle accept the idea of a born Christian looking for religion and religious salvation in a completely foreign, or let's call it exotic, religious stream?
That is indeed a question for me. I respect people who have gone through this search via India. But like Hermann Hesse, he has done that too. He came back to the Christian tradition. And I think the Christian tradition and the center of its message, this Jesus Christ, is far more dynamic and living than much which has come out of it. One says he preached the kingdom of God, and what came out is a church. And there is indeed a tension between institutionalized forms of religion and the fire and the conviction that behind all this there is a living truth, which to me is still most fascinating.
And that's the truth you're trying to get at the Coffee House Church?
A truth which is not a knowledge. It's something which you don't have in your pocket, but by approximation you come closer to it. Through sharing of human experiences, because I do believe that this living Christ is present among us, where two or three are gathered together, and surprises us to be present in forms which we wouldn't expect.
Permit me, I hope not too crass an indulgence, to make a point. We have the stereotype of both the Protestant and Roman Catholic churches. The Protestant, the hellfire and brimstone preacher, stands up there stern-looking in a black robe on Sunday, looks down at the congregation and proclaims, "You're all sinners, let us pray, let us sing." And on Sundays in the Roman Catholic Church, people don't know whether to stand, sit, or kneel. They follow what the others are doing because they've lost track of the liturgy years before. They go home, and it's just over again for the next week. Al Schalk, is this religion anymore?
I don't think that is true religion, but I do think we have to be fair. A great many, even traditionalist churches, are making great efforts, at least on the grassroots basis, through liberation theology and also through efforts like the Immense Missionary Fathers of Bethlehem Fathers.
Here in Switzerland.
Here in Switzerland, in Immense, Switzerland. And they were among the very first to contribute vastly to the overthrow of the Ian Smith regime in Rhodesia and turn Rhodesia into Zimbabwe. And without their help, the process of racial integration and equality may not have reached the state that it has today.
But Pope John Paul II doesn't like this mixture of religion and politics.
I know that's the big problem, but a great many people criticize the Pope, especially a number of theologians, notably Professor Hans King of Tübingen. It is his view that the Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Vatican needs a perestroika of its own.
I think the crisis is that it's very hard to live what you have been taught, to live it not simply on an ethical way, but if you're convinced that God, God is a loving and merciful Father, how do you live this in your own daily life, in your work, in your family? And this is difficult, and this needs a spiritual background, and we Protestants there haven't learned enough what it means to be a spiritual being. And I think there we can gain insights from other religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, which exerts a great fascination because there is more on a meditative background. But there, I think, a lot is being done, particularly in the Roman Catholic traditions. And also the Protestants begin to discover other elements of their faith. And so I'm not so pessimistic that we are going through a crisis, but the crisis is also a chance for rebirth.
The main aspect, or one of the big points in Krishna consciousness, is that, in my opinion, it offers you the most sublime and deepest philosophy. Many questions can't be answered in Christianity, as I personally found. It's just not any relevance in the Bible given. Jesus Christ said, there are many things to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Who is God if you're supposed to love him? How does he look? Where does he live? What are his activities? What is his relationship with this material world? Why we should love him? I think many of these questions are very difficult for Christians to understand, and they have to speculate, which then leads again to a deviation of the original religion, and in that sense it's watered down, it loses its spiritual power or strength.
Al Shalk, religion seems to be adapting perhaps too much to the modern needs of people, rather than people having to maintain a certain minimum standard of religious behavior. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that it's necessary not only for religion to adapt to society, but in some cases for society to adapt to religious norms. For instance, in a Nazi society, it was the failure of the Christian churches, both Catholic and Protestant, that they didn't react sufficiently to Hitler. So in that case, the church should have implemented its values on a Nazi society. And in other areas, the church has to adapt to society. It seems to me that it's extremely important to do more in the area of social implementation.
But so many changes have been made, alterations, deletions, corrections, as they were euphemistically referred to, for political reasons very often, in the catechism, in the Bible itself. How accurate do you think is the message of Christ today as we read it allegedly in the Bible?
That's a very difficult question to answer. The experts themselves are very divided on this. And I think that's also one of the reasons we have so many religious sects and religious confessions.
And dropouts, I suppose.
Yeah, and dropouts as well. And precisely that's the reason why it's so difficult to understand, for me to understand fundamentalists, is because they're too literal. As Jesus once said, the spirit quickens and the letter kills. And too often fundamentalists stick pretty much to the letter. And the Bible, as experts have shown, is very allegorical. And there are many, many passages and stories in the Bible that were meant in a symbolic way.
Another hot issue, not so hot an issue in Switzerland, where some religious training is included in primary school. But what about societies like, for example, in the United States, where there's such a reaction against any religious consciousness in the public school system? How do you feel on that issue?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a violation of the separation principle to have religious instruction in schools, provided that it is done fairly, and provided it is done more or less apart from the regular curriculum. For instance, if you have for Jewish children, have a Jewish rabbi or instructor, and for Protestants and Catholics, you have corresponding priests or ministers.
Would you think it would be good to have some religious instruction at the childhood level then?
Very
Definitely.
Much so. I think, I think it is even very important. Because today more than ever we need religious values in our society.
Goralila, how do you feel about this question of accuracy of the Bible?
Yeah, I think from the pure empirical or historical point of view, that it will be very difficult to try to prove that the Bible is the teachings of Jesus Christ as it is. You might, of course, use the same thing for Vedic traditions, Vedic scriptures. And I think there we have better chances because we have what we call the disciplic succession, where these literatures have been passed from spiritual master down to his disciples since very long time. We have the scriptures from, you know, more than 5,000 years.
Should we actually be suspicious of the Bible?
No, we don't have to be suspicious of the Bible, but when others pretend that there have been deletions, then I think we need to listen carefully what has been going on. This has come up in the last 10, 20 years, and myself, I'm willing to look at it, but I don't think that it has changed the essence of Christian faith by any means.
I think that's the main point. If you understand the essence of religion, then these social or cultural differences are not that important. And that is actually the message we should have, that what we have in common in all religion, that we have one common Father, who is the personality who's taking care of everyone, and if we come towards him in a loving devotional attitude, the spiritual happiness we're looking for, the peace we're looking for, actually also the problems in the state we're looking to solve, can very nicely be solved if that attitude is there.
So it looks, gentlemen, as though we have a pretty clear idea of our destination, but the only problem seems to be finding the best route to get there. Reverend Dr. Patrice de Metral, a Protestant minister in Zurich, Al Schalk, a former student of the priesthood and Catholic writer, and Goralila Dasa, a monk and member of the Hare Krishna movement in Zurich, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts about the relevance of religion in the modern society.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.